avyayam, imperishable. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal seat. Please respond. I am the goal.
I am the goal.
The sustainer.
The sustainer.
The master.
The master.
The witness.
The witness.
The abode.
The abode.
The refuge.
The refuge.
And the most dear friend.
And the most dear friend.
I am the creation.
I am the creation.
And the annihilation.
And the annihilation.
The basis of everything.
The basis of everything.
The resting place.
The resting place.
And the eternal seat.
And the eternal seat.
So forth. Gati means the destination where we want to go. But the ultimate goal is Krishna, although people do not know it. One who does not know Krishna is misled, and his so-called progressive march is either partial or hallucinatory. There are many who make as their destination different demigods, and by rigid performance of the strict respective methods, they reach different planets known as Chandra Loka, Surya Loka, Indra Loka, Mahar Loka, etc. But all such lokas or planets, being creations of Krishna, are simultaneously Krishna and not Krishna. Such planets, being manifestations of Krishna's energy, are also Krishna, but actually they serve only as a step forward for realization of Krishna. To approach the different energies of Krishna is to approach Krishna indirectly. One should directly approach Krishna, for that will save time and energy. For example, if there is a possibility of going to the top of a building by the help of an elevator, why should one go up by the staircase step by step? Everything is resting on Krishna's energy. Therefore, without Krishna's shelter, nothing can exist. Krishna is the supreme ruler because everything belongs to Him and everything exists on His energy. Krishna, being situated in everyone's heart, is the supreme witness. The residences, countries or planets on which we live are also Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate goal or shelter. And therefore, one should take shelter of Krishna either for protection or for annihilation of his distress. And whenever we have to take protection, we should know that our protection must be a living force. Krishna is a supreme living entity. And since Krishna is the source of our generation or the supreme father, no one can be a better friend than Krishna, nor can anyone be a better well-wisher. Krishna is the original source of creation. Bhadha Prabhu Sakshi Nivasha Taranam Sukhit Prabhava Pralaya Sthanam Nidhanam Vijam Avyayam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal seat. Hare Krishna, welcome to another discussion on Bhagavad Gita class. Unfortunately, we could not have it downstairs, but in a way it's fortunate to be here. More, I feel, intimate with all devotees. Actually, Prabhupada has everything said in the purport, you know, there's nothing much for us to add. But still, we shall say something just for discussion. The very first point Prabhupada has said already is gati. Gati means destination, the goal. Right? So, there are two goals that mankind achieves. Some of us go for spiritual goal. Some of us go for material goals. Right? So, material goals, like Maya, you know, we are always running after things, you know. Like this cell phone, this supplier, M1. You only live once. Is that what they say? one life, live it. This is Maya, you know. They're thinking, oh, I only got one life, I will do the best I can, enjoyment. Because this is the goal. Goal in life is to enjoy. So one life, live it. After that, dead, go to hell, I don't care. Next one, come, buy my phone now. You know, they're all fighting to... What they're trying to do is to capture your material senses. To capture, you know, so that, you know, once you're caught, you cannot run. You want to enjoy. You want to enjoy. That is our basic constitution in material life. As long as you are in material engagement, Prabhupada uses the word encagement. Encaged, that means there's a cage and you're inside that cage. And inside that cage you can't come out, right? But we are thinking this cage is so big, so nice, and I want to enjoy in this cage. You're like the animal in the zoo. Last time the zoo is not like Singapore Zoo, you know. Last time they had these big cages and they put animals and they'll bring around and everybody will go around and say, yeah, this is a tiger, this is a lion, this, you know. That was the zoo. Nowadays is different. They're trying to make the animals feel more comfortable. But they're still captured. Animals don't know, you know. The animals think, oh yeah, I got my environment. But it's, again, we are like animals. We are also encaged, but we are thinking, oh, I'm enjoying, I'm so happy, I've got this, a big house, I have a beautiful wife, I just got married, you know, it's like this, you know, go honeymoon, or I go to Switzerland, I go to, you know, but they're still encaged. They think they have left the country to enjoy somewhere else, but still they are encaged. They're still within the Maya's energy. Still Maya caught them. Maya telling them, oh, enjoy yourself, but I'm not going to let you go. But still, it's like the camel, you know. This camel, when it eats the cactus, and says, oh, this is so nice, and keeps on eating. But the cactus has got thorns. It bites the thorn. Because it bites the thorn, it got blood, right? Its tongue and palate bleeds. And the blood mixed with the cactus tastes very nice because the blood got salt, you know. So it is very nice. Very nice. So we are all like that, you know. We are all thinking that this material is so nice. Okay, I eat this, I do this, I'm enjoying myself. This is my goal. My goal is many things, manifold. First, it starts young. Children, the parents will say, okay, you know, you must study hard, you must do this, you must become, you know, this and that and the other. And then the child will say, yeah, I must have much money, you know, I must get the biggest house. See my neighbor, they got a big house. Mother will tell the child, the father say, you get bigger, you know. Why? That is material. They thinking this is the all in all, finished. One life, live it. So in order to live that one life, I must have the best material enjoyment. This is Maya. This is material energy acting on you, thinking that you, you know, by enjoying this, you are successful. But all this is temporary. This material goal is temporary. This material world is temporary because you are born, you grow, you stay for some time, you marry, you have some children, and then you grow old, sick, and you die. And think that's the end. And during that lifetime, I must enjoy to the fullest. But that's not true. If we use our intelligence, we can think, oh yeah, I was a small boy, now I've grown up to a young man, now I am working, now I am a manager, now I am a father, now I am a husband. But who am I? Did you ask yourself? Oh, if you show photographs of yourself, yes, this is me when I was a young boy, a baby. This is me when I was 6 years old. This is me when I was 12 years old. But you look at the photo, it's a small baby and another photo is a young man. How can it be the same person? But that person will say, yes, this is me. Who is that me? That me is the soul. The soul never dies. Because the soul doesn't die, That means it's eternal. And at the point of death, what it does? Takes another birth. Because why? This body which it was inhabiting during this lifetime, it become useless. It's too old. That body cannot function as a young man can. Young people here will say, yes, I can run 5 kilometers in 15 minutes. I can run 10 kilometers in half an hour or 45 minutes. But old people will say, no. 5 kilometers, I'll take 2 hours. But the same person, right? Different body. So different, the body is old. No, what must you do? So the soul says, at the time of death, I don't want this body anymore. I can't enjoy myself anymore. I want to take another birth, another body that is can fulfill my desires. So the soul goes and takes another birth. That is why soul is eternal. So if the soul is eternal, you are eternal, there's no question of one life, live it. This one life, you live it, whatever you do, whatever action you perform, there is a reaction for that. The reaction comes either in this life or in the next life. Some people, they say, oh, I'm so good. I give donation. I do this, I do that. I do so much welfare work. And yet, I'm suffering. Why? Because they've done something wrong in the past life. There's a story in Bhagavatam. King Anga was a very nice king, perfect king, looked after his subjects very nicely. Everything that they asked was provided for. But the king did not have a son, did not have any children. Unfortunately, he did not have a child. So he asked all the priests to come. He said, what is wrong, you know, I'm doing so much good things. I can't have a child. So the priest, you know, they looked through all the things and read the scriptures and said, oh yes. Yes, king, you are the best king in this lifetime. You have done so much good things. Yet, by looking at your past, you have done so much bad things in your past life. And for that punishment, you are not having a son in this life. So he said, what to do? What can I do? So everybody is desiring to have children, no? So the priest said, okay, you have to perform a sacrifice. You have to do a yajna, you know, fire sacrifice and do this and that, and you will get some prasadam, and that prasadam you must give to your wife. So he did it nicely. Then he got a son. The wife ate the prasadam and she got pregnant and she got married. But the son, the wife of this King Anga, was the daughter of the death personified. Death personified means good, not good qualities. So the son imbibes the qualities of death personified and he is Dena. Dena was a very cruel boy when he was born. From young he was very cruel. When he was playing with his friends, even when he was with his own friends, he would kill his friends just to see how they die. Just to play. He's such a cruel boy. Like that, and the king was thinking, Krishna, I was thinking also sad that I don't have a son. Now I have a son, I'm also sad. So you see the material energy, the way it is playing even kings. So the king was so sad, you know, he didn't know what to do. He tried to punish the Vena, his son, but couldn't. No matter what he did, he was doing more and more bad things. So finally, the king, you know, the boy came of age. The king installed him as a king and went to the forest. Because he said, I had enough, you know. I don't want this kind of life. I don't want to suffer. Finally, he came to his senses. You know, he said, okay, I want to become Krishna conscious. And he went to the forest to become Krishna conscious. What happened to this Vena? This Vena, wow, everything went to his head. Puffed up. Oh, now my father is gone. I'm free to do anything and everything I want. And he started to do all kinds of nonsense. He killed people irrationally. Even your good person also he killed. Bad person also he killed. He just loved, enjoyed giving distress to his subjects. So all the subjects, what they do? They couldn't do anything. So they all prayed and prayed and went to all the Vaishnavas and the saints and the pujaris and the, then they said, what to do? All the rishis. And then the rishis said, okay, we need a king. Because if we don't have a king, what will happen to the country? Go havoc, right? You don't have a government, what will happen to the country? Everybody will run wild, you know, say, I am the king, I am the king, I am the king. Or I am, you know, some countries you can see. What they are doing? Struggle for power. Everybody is, you know, going to different areas to control themselves. So you need a strong person to control the whole country. So the rishi said, okay, we need someone to look after the country. And at the same time, we cannot have this cruel person, because this cruel person is not helping the country. The whole country is going down the drain. So what they did, they thought, yes, this is a cruel person, we must kill him. So by mantras alone, they killed King Vena. But now no king. Who is going to run the country? What they did? Oh, okay. So what they did was, they took the body of King Vena. I'll cut the story short. It's a very long story. So they churned each part of King Vena's body. Right? And different parts of his body generated different living entities. And finally, they generated the personality of Godhead, King Prithu. Maharaj Prithu came from his body of King Vena. Maharaj Prithu, because the rishis were so expert in chanting and calling for the God, Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord came himself as Maharaj Prithu, one of the best kings that the world has ever seen. And when he came, of course, everything went back to normal. Everybody was happy and all that. The reason I gave you the story is to understand that we can desire a lot of things, but we must desire the right thing. The ultimate goal, gati, not maya, you know. We shouldn't be running after material things. Right? We should be very intelligent in what we want. So, Krishna says here, I am the goal. I am the gati. You should look for me. But then the question you will ask, why? Why must I look for Krishna? Right? Why not somebody else? In the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma sings this song. Venum Panantam Aravinda Dalayataksham Bhagavatantam Atitambuddha Sundarangam Khanda Pakoti Khamaniya Vishesha Sobham Govindamadi Purusham Samaham Jami. What's the meaning? I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head bedecked with peacock feathers, with a figure of beauty tinged with a hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. It's a description of Krishna. Such a beautiful person, and is an eternal person. Again, Brahma sings, Alola Chandraka Lasatana Malya Vamsi Ratnangaram Pranayake Likhalavi Lasam Chyamam Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, around whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers, beautified with the moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with a flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, who is graceful threefold bending form of Shyamasundara is eternally manifest. What a beautiful personality Krishna is. That is the gati we must go for. This is our goal. This is the goal that we should look for. The ultimate goal of our life, it may not be in this life, but if you practice, maybe in this life, maybe in the next life, maybe in the next life. Why? Because we have been born into this material world millions and millions and millions of times. We do not remember that song. Fortunately, we have taken the birth as a human body. Only in the human body, you have the discriminatory sense to see what is right and what is wrong. Then you use this intelligence to see, search out the supreme truth. What is truth? What is the goal of our life? Why are we here? Why are we wasting our time running around, feeding our stomach, feeding our family members and trying to keep our life together? Why? It's not necessary, right? If you look at the animals, are anybody feeding the animals? The birds, the bees, the dogs, the cats, the wild animals? No one is feeding them, right? Is there a program where food for life is going on for them? No, right? Nobody is going around taking bags of food and say, okay, animal, you don't have food, I'll supply. No. Nobody is giving. Who is supplying? Krishna is supplying. The Supreme Personality of God, He is supplying. But we are worried. We are the only species who are worried. We cannot feed ourselves. We'll become hungry. We are the only species. All other species are taken care of. Nobody goes to work 9 o'clock and come back at 5. No. All animals don't do that. They are all fed very nicely. We are the only species in this world we have to be fed. Or we have to do this, do that. Oh, if I don't do it, who is going to feed me? Who is going to feed my children? Who is going to feed my wife? No. Because no faith in Krishna. No faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm not saying that you don't need to work. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that you must have faith in Krishna that He will supply. We must have that faith. We don't have to worry, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. What is it that you don't have? Look at the other person below you. Another person is worse off than you. He may be in the home. Nobody to look after him. Another person may be in the streets. No money, nothing. But we are always not looking behind, you know. We are looking forward. Oh, that person, oh, he's got a bungalow. Oh, that person, he's got a beautiful wife. My wife is not beautiful. I want to divorce, I want to marry again. My house is small. I want to sell, I want to get a bigger house. This is what we are thinking. I am not saying anything that is not wrong, you know. Everybody's mind is like that. Everybody's mind, including mine. Everybody you are thinking, why I can get better and better and better. We are always thinking. We never think how I can go back to Godhead. We never think how I can serve Krishna to please Him. Because we are all parts and parcel of Krishna, we should actually be serving Him. But we are not. So that should be our goal. This is illustrated by another story from Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj was a young boy, about 4 or 5 years old, he loved his mother, he also loved his father. But the father, the king, he had two wives. One is Dhruva Maharaj's mother and another wife, another queen, you know. So one day Dhruva Maharaj went to his father and sat on his lap. But the Maharaj, you know, the king, you know, father did not take him up soon and told him go away and took the other queen's son. Then Dhruva Maharaj was very sad. Then the stepmother said, you go away. Go to your mother and ask her why he is rejecting you. The small boy, you know, 5 years old, crying. My father don't want to carry me. How a child feels, right? Child feel very sad. So child Dhruva Maharaj cried, and went to his mother, oh mom, what to do? Father doesn't like me, you know. And stepmother said, I got no right to sit in the throne. Then the mother said, yes, what to do? Now, the father doesn't like you. But, there's one person you can ask, and he can fulfill your desire, and that is Krishna. If you go and ask Krishna very nicely, maybe he'll give you what you seek. So, in our mind we'll think, how can a 5-year-old boy, you know, go and ask Krishna? What does he know? But Dhruva Maharaj was more advanced than that. And he was thinking, okay, if that's the case, if I have to do tapasya or whatever it takes to ask Krishna for the boon, I will do it. So he went straight to the forest. 5 years old, I remember. 5 years old, he went to the forest. It's an angry mood. I want this kingdom. I want all these things. I want riches. I want to sit on the throne. So he went to the forest. He went to the forest and that time Narada Muni heard about this. Narada Muni heard, you know, that this small 5-year-old boy is going to the forest to do tapasya. So Narada Muni came there and said, so, what are you doing, small boy? So I want to do tapasya so I can ask Krishna for a boon. Narada Muni said, no, you're a small boy, you go home. You go and play. Your age is, you shouldn't be doing all these things. You shouldn't be doing. Why you should do? You should be studying. You should be playing. Dhruva Maharaj, no, I'm not going to do all this. My mind is made up. See, you see the determination in that child. Lesson we can draw. Have the determination that a 5-year-old had to see Krishna. His goal was to see Krishna and ask him for a boon. That is his gati. His destination was Krishna. So he says, he told Narada Muni, no, you don't stop me. If you at all anything you want to do, you help me to see Krishna. So Narada Muni said, okay, I'll help you. Since you are so determined, I'll give you the mantra, you chant this. And you do your tapasya. So he gave him the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this boy, 5 years old, went to the forest and started to meditate and to chant this mantra. He is so great, you know. First month he was only living on fruits. Second month he was living on leaves. Third month, every other day he will drink water only. And after that, he was only living on air. He will breathe once in 1 week. Because he was doing so severe tapasya, the whole world was trembling. Then finally, Krishna came. Krishna came because, there's another point you must understand. He was meditating on Krishna within his heart. Now Krishna appears in three phases. Okay, you can realize God in three phases. One is Brahman, one is Paramatma, and the other is Bhagavan. Brahman realization is the realization that there's no form. God has no form. Then you just like the example is given is like the sun. If you look at the sun, there's a sunshine. You know there's a sun in the sky, right? By looking outside, is there sun outside? No, it's dark, so there's no sun outside. Morning, you can see the sun is outside. Why is light is there? Sunshine. So this sunshine is like Brahman. No form. There's light. Then if you go closer to the sun. Planet. You see the planet, right? Sometimes you can see the planet if you have the dark, very dark shade and look through the dark shade, you can see the sun, the planet. So this planet is like the Paramatma realization. The Paramatma is within everybody's heart. In every living entity, the Krishna lives in the Paramatma form in the heart. He's about 6 inches in height. According to the description in the Bhagavatam. Right? He lives in the heart. And he is the eternal witness. That's why he knows what body to give you in the next life. He is observing everything what you are doing. We are thinking, oh, I'm in my room, I'll lock the room, I'll do nonsense. But Krishna is inside, in your heart, and he's saying, hey, what is this guy doing? what nonsense is doing. So similarly, if you are doing Krishna conscious activity, Krishna is also in the heart, he is observing and he says, yeah, this guy is doing good work. He is always trying to think of me and remember me. So now, as you go closer to the sun, and you enter the sun planet, you see the sun god, Surya. There is a living person running the show in the sun planet. Just like we are all in this planet, there is people in the sun planet. So when you go further, Bhagavan realization, then you realize Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. You realize that and then you see. There are three phases. So this boy, he was meditating on Krishna within himself. Krishna as a Paramatma within his heart. As he was doing more and more meditation, finally one day, disappeared. Krishna in his meditation disappeared. Krishna was nowhere to be found. In his heart he didn't, couldn't see him. In his mind he couldn't see him. Nothing. What happened, you know? I was meditating, I was very good in meditation. And what must you do when you can't see someone? He was closing, he opened his eyes. When he opened his eyes, he saw Krishna in front of him. Krishna was there and he said, what do you want? You have been meditating on me for so long. So such severe tapasya. But this boy, he was meditating on Krishna in an angry mood. Why was he angry? His father didn't care for him. Father said, get out. No, I'm not going to give you anything. No, this throne is not for you. So he's angry, right? So he's angry. And this mood, he was praying to Krishna. So Krishna understood what was in his mind. So Krishna said, okay, I'll grant you what you want. I'll give you the greatest planet in this world, Dhruvaloka. You become the king. You have all the riches, everything. When this boy saw Krishna, he regretted. Why did he regret? He regretted because he was meditating on Krishna in an angry mood. And his desire was material desire. He could have got the ultimate. He could have gone back to Godhead. He could have got Krishna himself. But because of his meditation was wrong. That's why it's important to meditate in a proper frame of mind. Because whatever you ask, Krishna will give it to you. Okay? Krishna is very kind. It's stated here. Krishna is very, very kind. He's the best friend. He's our best friend. So whatever you desire, he will give you. But one thing he is very difficult to give. He doesn't give love of Godhead, love of Krishna. Krishna prema, very difficult he will not give. But that should be our goal. Our goal is Krishna prema. Our goal should be devotional service to Krishna. Because by performing devotional service, Krishna becomes pleased. When Krishna is pleased, he gives you Krishna prema. Why we are doing devotional service? We are doing devotional service so that Krishna will see us, cast his glance upon us. If you are not doing devotional service, Krishna won't look at you. He won't shower his mercy on you. It's very difficult. So there are so many people doing so many things. Some people do karma yoga. So I'll do what I'm, you know, Bhagavad Gita says karma yoga is good. You know, I'll do karma yoga. I'll do my work. But if karma yoga doesn't lead you to the ultimate goal of Krishna, frame, then it's wasted. If Jnana Yoga, that means studying the scripture so nicely, but at the end not realizing that Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, if you don't realize that, all your studies of the Vedas is wasted. Right? And if you do Hatha Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. Patanjali says, when you do this yoga, you have to concentrate on Krishna, on the Supreme Personality, Godhead, so that you can realize Him. But nowadays it's fashionable to just do yoga. Oh, I can bend the other way, you know. I can bend round, you know, whatever position I can do yoga. That is fashion, and lot of yoga centers are coming up. But that is not the goal, that is not the gati. The ultimate goal of yoga also is to control your mind, not do contortionist thing, you know, just to become, and what for? World champion, gold medal. I can stand on my head, I can stand on one finger, right? What's the point, you know? No point. The point of yoga is to control the mind so that you can meditate on Krishna. So that Krishna appears before you as He appeared before Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj did the proper Ashtanga Yoga. That is the right thing. Nobody else is doing that. Everybody says exercise. But that is what? Exercise? Prabhupada says walking is good. Walking is good. Really, walking is good. You walk, you know, half an hour, one day, you walk. It's very good for your heart. Brisk walking. But nobody, you know, they all think that doing this, they will be very healthy. Not true. I mean, probably there's some benefit is there. But what is the ultimate benefit we want? Ultimate benefit, gati. The ultimate goal is Krishna. That's what we want. Not any other thing. So people all, you know, thinking that doing this is good. Prabhupada gives one story, nice story. This guy got this timber, you know, thick wood, very heavy wood, you know. He took the wood, he cut into one big piece and two small pieces. He put the big piece on these two small pieces and went away. His monkey came, saw this wood. What he did? He pulled the wood, you know, monkey, you know, right? It always come and play and do nonsense and all that. So he pulled the wood, one of the wood, holding the big plank of wood. The big plank fell on the monkey's tail and cut the monkey's tail. The monkey cried, right? Pain, run back to its group. But when he went back to his group, he didn't say anything. He said, this is a new fashion. No tail, this is a new fashion, no tail. All the other monkeys say, oh yeah, this is a new fashion. This is what's happening in this world. Everybody is coming up with new fashion. This is a new fashion. So like that, people are all foolish. They see somebody doing something, they all follow. Everybody look up in the sky, everybody will look up, you know, oh yeah, what is that? Nobody knows what. Everybody will look, yes. This is human mentality, we're crazy. Everybody follow, just follow, don't know what they are doing. Right? This is like that. There's another story also. There was this wedding going on. This father, parents, you know, everybody is there at the wedding. They're going to tie the tali, you know, the mangala, is it? What do you call that? That. Mangala Sutra. So, like that. At that time, this black cat came. Oh, black cat, oh, very bad luck, right? So what these parents did? What they did? They caught the black cat, put it in a box, put it on the side, near the wedding place, you know, the dais, you know. And then my wedding went on, finished everything, okay, ready. So this couple got married, very happy, lived together, got children. And after some time, the children grew up. And the children want to get married, right? So they wanted to get married. So they had another wedding ceremony. But this time, the couple who got married last time, they found a black cat, they put the black cat in the box and put it next to the wedding dais. This is follow blind. Crazy. This is, people don't understand what they're doing. They just do. That's my point. You understand? Don't follow authority. Oh, I just saw my father do this, I saw my grandmother do this. Always you ask people, yes, yeah, my grandmother said this. Must do this way. No authority, no scriptures, No gurus tell you anything, but yes, my great grandmother said this. Must follow tradition. Crazy. No intelligence. This is problem with people. They don't understand. Everything follow blind. Just like that monkey, you know. Everybody wants to do anything they want to do. They don't understand. It's very important that you understand, you read. What is the goal in life? Krishna is the goal in life. So again, Prabhupada says Krishna is the ultimate shelter for protection and for annihilation. That means what? If you want to be saved, you pray to Krishna. If there's danger, we always pray to God, Krishna. So that is what Prabhupada is saying. Because Krishna is he can save you. But if you're not supposed to be saved, he won't save you. If you are supposed to die, no one can save you except Krishna. If Krishna says, okay, you're going to live, then no one can kill you. Only Krishna can do all these things. But we think we are the doers. Today, you know, if I didn't cross that road, I wouldn't have had accident. No, not true. You cross the road because Krishna wants you to cross the road and you want that car to hit you. That is a fact. Of course, we are careful in our life, but what happens is Krishna has already, you know, knows what to do for you. We must have that full firm faith in Krishna. So whatever happens to me is Krishna's doing. It's not my doing, you know. Sometimes we all think, oh, I'll attend this course, I'll attend that course. You know, this course teaches me how to become very good, how to become the best, how to sell the best. This course will teach me how to control my anger. This course will teach me how to sell this product. You know, we always see so many people attending so many courses, right? There's so many people teaching, right? Thousands of dollars they will charge for you to become, better. To realize your full potential. That's what they say. Realize, you pay thousands of dollars to go and, yay, everybody clap, yes. All fired up. Moment the class is finished, you go out, you become your old self. You can't follow. Because you are not that person. What to do? Everybody says, yes, I attended the course. Yes, you attended the course, you are successful. Only that one person. Thousands of people attend the course, only one person becomes. Why? That one person is supposed to be successful whether he attend the course or not attend the course. But that course gave him a little bit impetus. Okay, alright, you know, start the ball rolling, man. Then he becomes better. That's all. Otherwise, he cannot. Right now. Look at this world. Everybody is trying to become rich. Is everybody rich? No. Right? Everybody wants to go into the property market now. It's so hot, you know. Everybody says, I'll buy. Everybody rich? No. Everybody buy the stock market. Oh, it's going higher and higher. I buy. You see how you must realize. If there is a winner, there's a loser. Somebody makes money, somebody must lose. Otherwise, how that fella get the money? He must be from all other people who lost the money, right? Little bit of brain cells must be used, you know. Must be used. You must use a little bit. You must spend a little bit of your brain cells so you can realize, oh yeah, actually, somebody lost, I'm winning. Next time I lose, somebody will win. This is material nature, you know. People don't realize that. They all think, oh, I'm doing. No, you're sorry, man. Krishna wants to protect. No one can kill you. Krishna wants to take your life. No one can protect you. Krishna is the ultimate refuge. Sarva karana karanam. Ishvara parama Krishna sachit ananda vigraha. Anadi raja Govinda sarva karana karanam. That's the last line here. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Of all the Ishvaras, all the gods, that okay, who, those who don't know, there are 33 million demigods. 33 million demigods, and everybody say, I'll pray to this, I'll pray to this, I'll pray. Can you pray to 33 million demigods? I don't think so. One already you have so much difficulty. 33 million, you must satisfy before you can get everything back, right? But Ishvara Parama Krishna Tachit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Who is this? Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of all the Ishvara, He is the Param Ishvara. Sachit Ananda Vigraha. He has a body full of eternal bliss. Knowledge. All knowledge He has. All bliss He has. He is full of it. Anadit Adit Govinda. The oldest person is Krishna Govinda. But it's not old like some of these Christians say, you know, oh, God has got white beard, you know, long beard, white long hair. No! He's a young boy. He's so beautiful. Yes, he's blackish, but he's black. Because he's black, even millions of cupids are attracted to him, even though he's black. Because his body is so attractive. Sarva Karana Karanam. Cause of all causes is Krishna. Cause of all causes. Whatever cause you are talking about, who is the cause? Krishna. So, Prabhupada ends on that. Krishna is the cause of all causes. So we don't have to worry. So, because Krishna is the cause of all causes, He is our supreme, ultimate goal. And we must bear this in mind all the time. Do not forget this. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Two, always remember Krishna. One, second, never forget Krishna. This process is a correct process. You follow it, you will get the fruit. How do you know? Prabhupada gives the example. You take a fruit from the tree, like an apple. You taste it. If it's good, the tree is a good tree, right? Oh, this tree produces very nice, juicy apple. But if you take the fruit and it is bitter or sour or whatever, it's not a good tree, right? It's not producing good. So similarly, you take up this process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And what happens? You taste it. You taste the fruit and you say, yes, this fruit tastes nice. It's so sweet. Ah, this is the right process. I've tasted other trees, other fruits, not so tasty. This is the best fruit. And I got the taste and I'm going to stick to it. Hare Krishna, you say, I'm sorry, we shall stop here and take a question or two. Or any comments.
Thank you for very nice question. You mentioned something about the blind spirit. Actually, in India, we have lots of traditions. Some of them are authentic for demigods, some of them are constructed. And after coming to Krishna consciousness, again, we have some traditions. Like Ekadashi was made for this one, this one. And for every Ekadashi, there is some different story. And you ask any question, you will tell some story from some scripture. But how do we
differentiate between Krishna consciousness faith and blind faith? Based on what we follow? What should be the criteria?
Criteria for?
For following any faith. Any faith?
Any faith
of Krishna consciousness?
Why is it superior than that?
Superior?
Why Krishna consciousness faith is superior than other?
why Krishna consciousness is faith is superior to demigod faith. Or blind faith. No need to talk about blind faith. Blind faith means what? Nothing. Concoction. Blind. This is nonsense. You just come up with something, you're sleeping one day, you wake up, yes, this is the way I should do it. That is blind. That's nonsense. We shouldn't want to follow anything like that. Because this is what we concoct. Right? And everybody follow. Yes, this Babuji says something nice, so I shall follow him. He blindly follow. He's got no authority. Blind means no authority. You must have authority. Right? If not authority, how? Just like Prabhupada gives the example. You want to become a doctor. What must you do? You can read medical books. Right? All of you can buy medical books now. Go to the shop, buy a medical book. All the books that are sold there, all the medical students can buy. You also can buy. You all can read the medical books. But can you become a doctor? No! Can you? No. Who can become doctor? The student who learns from another doctor. Right? So you need authority to tell you what to do, how to do. Not simply I read a book, medical book, I become a doctor. Or I read a law book, I become a lawyer. I read an accountant book, I become an accountant. No, how can it be possible? You must be under someone to teach you. So you cannot be blind, right? So where is the authority for these people? That's one. Secondly, demigod worship. Demigod worship, it's like Prabhupada gives example. If there's an elevator, I take the elevator. All those who took elevator to come up here, very intelligent. All took the staircase, foolish. Why? It's just a saying, I can touch the nose like that. But I touch the nose like that. Go wrong. Why? Foolish, right? I can do it this way, but I'll touch this. So demigods are all servants of Krishna. Right? They all have their duty to perform in this material world. If they have a duty to perform and they are doing on behalf of Krishna, why do you want to pray to them and say, please give me this, give me that? What the demigods do when you ask them for this? They turn around and pray to Krishna and say, Krishna, can you give me this? This fellow wants something, you know. Krishna will say, okay, I'll give it to you. Then he give it to you. Right? So instead of asking indirectly, you go straight to Krishna and say, Krishna, can I have it? Krishna will give it to you. So there's no point. Plus the fact that there are 33 million demigods, if you don't satisfy all 33 million demigods, you will not get what you want. Because if you pray to one of the demigods, the other 999,999 of them will turn around and say, hey, you didn't pray to me, you know. I cannot sanction this, no way. I cannot give it to you, so sorry. That is what happens. You cannot ask one of them one. You have to ask all 33. Can you remember all 33 million? No, we only know a few. Right? And most of the temples, only a few of the demigods are there, not all 33 million. So that is another problem for asking, you know, for praying to them. That's a tradition that you cannot follow. The Vedic scriptures tell you certain things, but the Vedic scriptures are divided, you know, into tamasa, rajagana and sattvic. So it depends on what you follow. Some of them who follow the tamasic part of it do black magic and all the other stuff and animal sacrifice and all the other stuff. Then the middle portion will do the fire sacrifice and karma yoga and all that. The sattvic portion, these people are more intelligent. They will do things which are more Krishna conscious. But if they do that, keep on doing that, then they will realize that Krishna is the ultimate. and then they will go to Krishna. And that is actually the purpose of the Vedas. Understand? That is the purpose. So, if we know that Krishna is the ultimate, why do you want to do all the other stuff? Right? Does it make sense? So, forget all this tradition. Just take Krishna consciousness. It has been proven. If you read, Bhagavatam is a ripened fruit. Is a natural commentary on the Veda, Vedanta Sutra. Vedavyas wrote the Vedanta Sutra, right? In order to comment what is the meaning of the Veda, he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in that Srimad Bhagavatam, he tells you, pray to Krishna. So why you want to run around? Like I said, if you taste the fruit, you know that the fruit is very sweet. Stick to it. Right? It works. Okay, any other questions? There's one more question behind.
Relating to this question, I was also saying that you are servant of God, right? Yeah. And then you are also servant of God, right? They are also servant of God, and we can't go direct to Krishna. We are also servant of God to attain to Krishna.
Yeah.
How to go about this?
Yeah, you're right. Demigods are servant of God, but they have a duty to perform, and they are not your guru. When the Shastra say you have to serve the servant of Krishna, he actually means a Vaishnava, devotee of the Lord, who can impart the knowledge of Krishna consciousness to you. A demigod cannot. Yeah, he can. If you are so powerful and he likes you so much and he comes down and tells you, okay, this is the way to do it. Because you need a guru to tell you what to do, how to do it. And most of these demigods have got no time for all these things. In fact, they want to take birth in this earthly planet so that they can go back to Godhead themselves. Because the demigods themselves have so many duties to do and sometimes they forget Krishna. Understand? That's why so many times you can see Indra always making so much mistakes. You know, God Indra is always making so many mistakes. He's always doing so many things. Because suddenly he forgets. Even Lord Brahma. Once Krishna was playing with all the cowherd boys in Vrindavan, Lord Brahma came and he saw all these cowherd boys and he saw Krishna. What he did? He stole all the cows and all the cowherd boys and he hid them, thinking he can play with Krishna. So these people sometimes forget their position. But a Vaishnava will not forget this. That's why a Vaishnava, when he comes directly from the spiritual planet, from Vrindavan, spiritual kingdom, Golok Vrindavan. That's why we say the Guru is non-different from Krishna. You understand? So that's why you can pray, yeah, but no point. Because they are not going to come down to this material world and give you direction. No way. They are servants, but different. They have their own service to do and you cannot take shelter of them. You can take shelter, but you have to go back to Godhead. And from them realize that, you know, but can you serve them? That's the thing. You can only serve the Vaishnava who is present here. Then only you can do that.
This point on demigods to whom we brought up nicely. There's a nice prayer by demigods to Krishna. I think it's 6th canto, 9th chapter. The demigods are praying to Krishna because at that point of time they are also now in trouble and they're praying to Krishna for help at that point. They say a nice point that Prabhupada emphasizes. Vayam नादम वृंदरु पित ईश मालिन पित ईश मालिन है द राइट पॉइंट है द स्टार्टिंग पॉइंट दैट द डेमिगॉड्स प्रे टू कृष्णा इज कृष्णा यू आर द ओनली क्रिएटर बट यू आर सो काइंड टू अस दैट बाय योर मर्सी यू हैव गिवन अस द पावर टू क्रिएट यूनिवर्सेस एज इफ वी आर क्रिएटर्स बट वी आर नॉट क्रिएटर्स अनफॉर्चुनेटली Because you have given us such administrative powers, we have sometimes become so engrossed with these powers that we think that we are actually independent and therefore we are separate from you. And because of that, that is why even though we have the eyes, we have the facilities, we cannot see you directly. So Prabhupada writes in the starting point of the purport, this is the reason why we cannot see Krishna. Because the demigods are instructing us actually that the reason why we cannot see Krishna is because if we get very caught up thinking that we are actually doing things and that it's not Krishna who's empowering us to do it, we immediately become separate. So in that sense, the demigods, because they have administrative duties, it can sometimes be difficult for them because they themselves admit in Bhagavatam that they can sometimes fall into this trap of thinking that they are actually doing. And when they do that, they think themselves independent of Krishna. And if that thinking is there, then they cannot really, in that sense, guide us to Krishna. But the pure Vaishnava can do that because at all times, he knows his position in the devotional service. So I just wanted to go on with what Guruji has said. Thank you, Guruji.
Yeah, this is a very nice one. Vaishnava never forget Krishna. Always, as I said earlier, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. A Vaishnava does that. But anybody else who's got work to do, like Prabhupada mentally pointed out, you'll forget. You'll forget Krishna. And that's the one. That's why we don't do that. Okay, Prabhupada? Any other points or any other comments, Prabhupada, Madhuri? If there's nothing, I know. We thank you and end today's discussion Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.
Jai
Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.
We are doing Kirtan now, Prabhu. Mataji, we would like to invite his great Narottam Prabhu.